Hello, this is Janet Gallen welcoming you to Love Letters Live. You know, love letters to anyone for any reason at any time you have a positive thought to express. Just stamp it and mail it and make somebody else's life great. Greater, even people who have great lives. Today's guest is Dustin Berlin, and we just met, and I'm going to introduce Dustin as a lover of the world. And what he said to me before is he likes to see people restored. And we're going to go right to you. Tell me what it is you do, or start anywhere at all in your life. What is it you do that you restore people?
Well, Janet, thank you so much for having me on. And I am just appreciative to be able to share the passion for others and the passion for seeing lives restored.
Well, how do you do that? What do you do to people?
So I started cutting hair for people in parks, homeless people.
Okay, so can we go back a little? So are you by trade a hairstylist?
Mm-hmm. I've worked in the hairdressing industry for 10 years now. I worked with Tony and Guy International for 7 of those. And took that skill to practically love on and care for the people that were homeless out in the parks.
Okay, so go ahead. You started cutting hair in parks. What was your first one?
We went out to Kings Park in Costa Mesa with a coworker of mine.
With your equipment?
Just a backpack. We had a bucket and a little stool, and we both went out and just started up a conversation.
Wow.
Noticed a couple guys sitting in the shade and just, you know.
Buckets for shampoo?
No, buckets to sit on.
Oh, upside down.
That was our salon chair.
I see. Okay,
yeah.
Great.
Mm-hmm. And we noticed a couple guys just surviving, just living. And I noticed the lack of community. He had one with him, so maybe that was his community.
Oh, you're saying you can sense the isolation between people.
I can sense the isolation.
Yes.
There in the park. And so seeing that, I just walked over and kind of crouched down and got more on eye level with this gentleman named Salvador. And I got to just ask about his life and learn about his existence and what he...
I'm just interested in how you started this conversation.
Yeah.
Because how do you approach somebody that is just sitting by himself?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he was open to talking to you.
Yeah, of course. I mean...
What did you say, if you remember?
You, just like you would say if you were standing next to me in a line for your Starbucks.
Start with hello.
Hello, how's it going?
I say, okay.
And then, you know, ask about something that I could relate to him. You know, how's it going? You know, is it staying out of the weather? Or if it's really hot? Or if it's whatnot? Salvador... was happily sitting with his friend John, and I just came over and said hello and asked him about the day and what was going on.
So the first thing you did was establish some nice kinship.
Mm-hmm.
And
I have to establish some trust. Otherwise,
oh sure, before somebody lets you come near their face with a scissors.
Of course.
Indeed.
So you know, it was good. I think we had some waters with us and just sat and started a conversation. And it was a way to establish friendship, safety,
mm-hmm.
and then...
Did you tell him, you must have told him what you do at some point.
Well, it comes out, which is nice that they get to ask me. And so, what are you doing here?
Okay.
I'm cutting hair
for
people out here in the park. And, you know, and then the story develops. And sometimes they whip their hat off real quick. Oh, man, I need a haircut real bad. Or sometimes there's...
Somebody will say that once they know what you do.
Yeah.
Oh, so they hand themselves over to you. How nice.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. It's a nice way for them to... So once we've established that trust,
mm-hmm.
they can receive a service that they haven't in a long time, you know. And so it's a way to use a skill set that I love and do it for something that I feel in my heart and my chest. So it's real.
People restored. That's such a nice way of putting things. Because that means you're approaching them knowing that they have something good and you want to help bring that back.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
And so you do the haircut.
So we did
Salvador haircut, and then I want to know. I'm such a stickler for details.
Okay.
What next? How did he react? How did he sit while you were doing?
He was very.
And was his hair real long?
He had hair to his shoulders, a bit messy, and yet he kept himself as clean as possible.
Oh, nice.
A respectable man.
Did that have to do with what made you go to him?
No.
Okay.
I saw someone that wasn't looking hostile and was
sure.
open. And
okay.
so creating that conversation was, I'm open to anyone. And I wanted to connect. That's the main
so
thing.
So after you were done...
He was just so honored. He posed himself so gratefully with his hands together, sitting up real straight, and I got to groom his hair for him and cut it and brush it for him and showed him a mirror, and he was overjoyed. He loved it. He felt cared for. He felt decent again.
Yeah.
And that in restoring decency to someone can change the way they value themselves socially. And uniquely individually, and then from there they can make decisions for how they can interact with society based on the fact that they're accepted. So you really open the door for them mentally to create a life for themselves.
You know, you're touching on something, we'll talk about it later, but so like love letters is people need to feel worthwhile and attractive.
Mm. Yep.
And once you feel worthwhile and attractive, yes, you can go out and face the world.
Right.
Okay, tell me some other experiences, if you would.
To touch on that, our society is based on primarily on our looks, which helps us to connect. And when we decide we want to connect with someone...
Well, I must say, in all fairness to our society, I mean, we overdo it in too many ways.
Of course.
But every species grooms.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
They all do.
There's something about it in our DNA.
Yeah, you need to groom to attract people to come close to you.
Mm-hmm. And we attract people in different ways. And I was thinking about it when I admire the people in my life that are older, and maybe they're losing their hair, but their personalities just shine. And I don't even notice the exterior. I notice that I'm attracted to someone because... They love people. They care.
Have you ever noticed? I have that the exterior actually changes, kind of as the soul comes out. I mean, I've seen many years ago, I had a friend for dinner, and he was new to my family, and he was a nice looking man. His eyes happened to be rather close together, and he had kind of a hawkish look, handsome but hawkish. And by the end of dinner, my daughter looked at me. She said, "Did you notice that by the end of dinner, his eyes had actually widened in his face?"
Wow. I love that. I haven't got to experience this yet, and
the physical really can change as you're looking at an attractive... Okay, so...
If you can change your eye color with your mind, which has been proven...
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm wrong.
You should look that one up. That was a crazy one.
Okay.
And it's rare, of course.
Oh.
But the power of our minds...
Yes.
Can affect us physically.
Oh, how we see how we see others, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even just like you're saying, the physical characteristics.
Yeah.
So
the next so I want to know is what happened after that? I mean, now you do this regularly. How did it work out?
How did it transition?
Yeah.
We went from going out with a friend every other week, every weekend, and then doing different things, bringing food, bringing our hair cutting skills, and just connecting with people on the boardwalk. We tried different places on the pier, and then we decided to put it on Facebook and invite people. And 15 people showed up on Easter.
And you put down where to show up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I put down where to show up and decided that I want to share this experience and get more people involved because I love people. I love community. I love enjoying things with other people. And from
there... That's so unique.
Yeah?
Well, a lot of people bring food. And there are mobile libraries.
Sure.
And there's... But I've never heard of this.
Yeah.
This is great.
Mobile hair salon.
Really? So 15 people showed up. And
15 people showed up, and some people didn't have any hairdressing skills or photography skills or anything.
Oh, 15 people showed up to help you do this.
To help.
Oh, I thought you meant people waiting for hair.
No.
Oh, how great.
No, I posted it to my network of people that wanted to connect.
Join me in doing this.
Yes. Uh-huh. So people showed up that didn't have any, quote-unquote usable skill set that they were aware of, in which they got to usher people around and just greet them and make them feel cared for. And that's a big point right there, is saying everyone has a gift. Everyone has an ability to care for people, because if you're alive as a human that's flawed and beautiful, you can relate to somebody else that's flawed and beautiful. And it's so easy if you're willing to try.
Well, you're touching on something else when you say that some people didn't have a skill set, but they could be the greeters and usher people.
Yeah.
That's a huge skill set.
100%.
Because if you've ever walked into a doctor's office or a salon, any place where you're going to be cared for, mm-hmm. you're counting on it.
Right.
And you are greeted with a scowl and short-temperedness, you're finished. I mean, the damage is huge.
Right.
So making people feel welcome and safe, which you referred to twice already before, is enormous.
Yeah.
How many people showed up for haircuts that day?
We probably cut about 15, mm-hmm. which is great. You know, numbers seem to be... The impact in someone's life is the most important. And sometimes we'll take a lot of time with one person.
Sure.
Because we want to develop that story. It's not a machine. We don't want to, you know,
right.
get them in, get them out. It's life. It's human. And so we leave space for that. And there's a lot of time where, you know, there's some space in the conversation. There's some pausing, some waiting, and letting someone develop an idea about us that isn't, easily recognized, I think, right off the bat, especially
like
socially. Socially, it's not normal if you come up and cut someone's hair for free in the park, just
uh-huh.
randomly. You know, it's a shocking thing. So
I think so, yes.
It's a fun way to create.
So have you established yourself as that person now? So when people see you in a park offering free haircuts,
yeah,
they kind
the
of
community,
already know?
We adjusted. We evolved to what worked best. So in that park in Costa Mesa,
mm-hmm.
The local park rangers, you know, kind of shoot us off. So we're like, okay, cool.
Oh,
yeah.
As in shoo go away?
Shoo go away. So
shame on them.
It's in a way, it is enabling the people to stay there and find resources.
Oh, I'm sorry. They're told shoo go away.
They're shooing us from helping.
Oh, that's what I thought you meant, and then I thought, no, I must be wrong.
No. So the park ranger doesn't want people coming and feeding and caring for homeless people
because
they're
attracting. Because that'll attract, I see.
Right.
I
so
see.
In a way, I had to look at it from the city's perspective.
Sure.
After, you know, six, you know, I would say 4 months of heartfelt folly of helping people, and yet what are we actually doing for these people's lives? Men and women. Are we helping them pursue their dreams, or are we help enabling them where they're at? So that was a
very
harsh truth that we had
always.
To look at.
Yeah.
We had to look at it from the city's perspective.
What was your conclusion personally?
The conclusion is people need to value themselves and then have a session of dreaming to reassess what they want in the world. If they could start over, hit the reset button as a kid and say, I have whatever I can have, and I have to just go get it. So
you're saying, I mean, my own feeling is that what you're doing is valuable, even if it's a one-shot thing. You're letting somebody take a fresh look at him or herself.
Mm-hmm.
Are you doing mostly men, or men and women?
At that point, it was mostly men.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly men on the street. From there, we adapted. We went to Santa Ana,
mm-hmm.
which is it's just a local area that has collected a lot of transients. And so it's a way to care for a community, get to know them, be consistent
sure.
in their lives. I was there every week and brought different people, sometimes even a mother with kids, that wanted them to experience life in a new way.
They just love seeing you come down the street.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know you, and I love seeing you walk in the door. So you do carry something with you there.
I've been fortunate to develop and collect the love for our humanity, and a lot of that has come through my mother, who was a hairdresser.
Ah, where?
She here in Marin County, in Sonoma County, she was an amazing hairdresser, and she was better at caring for people than being a hairdresser.
Mentioning this, I have a friend who had been through chemotherapy and had lost all her hair,
mm-hmm.
and as her hair started to grow back, she would drive a long ways to Sonoma to get her hair done there because there was a woman there who kind of specialized in women whose hair was just regrowing back, and how important that is. And like you said, they felt cared for.
Right.
And trust and all of this.
Especially as a woman, losing your hair, that's one of your major pieces. That
now, why is that? Let's just talk about hair for a minute. it's huge. Mm-hmm. People, there are industries about it. We count on it. Operas, mm-hmm. you know, the barbers. There are relationships between barbers and their customers.
Of course.
That are critical and intimate. And what is it about hair?
It's a third-party person that you trust. And is working.
No, I mean hair itself.
Oh, okay.
It says something.
It's what you see first.
Well, it's what you see first, and it's also, what is it? It's a sign of how available you are.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sign of fertility, and mm-hmm. you know, if you're young mm-hmm. enough to have babies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as far as attracting.
100%. It shows
so
if you're
much.
Businessy or crisp or more mellow and conservative.
And we all notice beautiful hair if you walk down the street and see something shiny and
coarse. And everybody out there has an opportunity to compliment that hair if you see it. And that's a major thing I live by, and my kids will know that if I end up having children. But I was taught by my mother, if you see something that you like, compliment it.
Oh, yes.
And it's kind of the opposite of, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything. But creating affluence for someone in their personality, in their being, just by complimenting them.
Yes, because I notice that myself. Every once in a while, I am moved to say something. Just walking down the street, I see somebody who's got something just exquisite, and I mention it, and they light up.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what it is? It's that being seen.
Yep.
People need to be recognized as I am here on this earth.
Right. Okay. If somebody puts some wild shoes on, maybe they're felt Hunter Green and they're amazing, maybe made in Spain, you might want to actually compliment them on that. And because they put those on for a reason.
Yeah.
You didn't put on a bright
color. You made a conscious choice for some reason.
Right.
Yes.
And people put on crazy colored hats or crazy colored glasses.
Yes.
All you got to, they're waiting for you to say, I see those glasses,
yes.
and I like those glasses. Because you obviously put those on for a reason.
You've done something to define yourself a little bit.
Right.
Yes.
It's an easy key
yes.
in society to unlock the connection between
you. I do notice that sometimes walking down the street, and obviously you do too. You see somebody who may look a little goofy
mm-hmm.
in what they have chosen to wear,
mm-hmm.
and it may even be something you wouldn't be caught dead in, or you would only be caught dead in.
Yes.
But the truth of the matter is, they have considered and consciously put together an outfit
mm-hmm.
that they like and that and they get credit for that, I think.
Yeah.
Right.
We have choice, and it holds a lot of power to our being, and that's part of what cutting hair on the street has crafted
yes.
into is giving voice and advocating for those who
have.
Well,
tell me more about your mother. I kind of got
okay.
us off the track.
So,
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. My
so
mother.
So many tracks to get off on here.
Cindy Ray Berlin, amazing woman
mm-hmm.
who did hair for 30 years. And she cared for people. And I recently got in touch with someone that had his haircut done by her and who's known me since I was born. And he said, this was 2 days ago, he said, Cindy was an amazing person that did hair, but took time to look into someone's person, into their being, and really shine light behind that person and make them feel like they had value. And it was just such a simple idea, yet she did it so well. And that's why she was so loved in society and in our culture here.
There's something magical about that. Did you ever watch? I mean, I was such a fan of it. What Not to Wear?
I did a little bit. Mm-hmm.
Well, they had two hairdressers by turns, and that was kind of the last step.
Mm.
You get your hair done, and that's where the real.
Yep.
And you could see the attention these hairdressers were paying to the, like you say, the being of the person.
Yep. 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 My mom was an amazing person with that, and. It was an odd twist. When I was 20, she developed ovarian cancer.
Oh.
And so after battling it for 2 years, right before I got into hairdressing, at 19 and then 21 when I got into hairdressing, she passed away from ovarian cancer. And so that was something.
Too young.
Yeah. And yet it was in a time in my life where I had already chosen to take on my responsibility for life and be who I wanted to be. And then from her inspiration, taking that on to the future, there was no choice for me except to pursue all the things that I wanted in life because she thought she was going to have so much more time.
Yes.
So I thought, this is what we have to do. We have to go out and connect with people, and I feel like I got a little bit...
You're doing it with her behind you.
Yeah.
So. Oh, I see a love letter here, but I want to ask you something else first about... Do you ever think of, or maybe it would, you know, delete the whole purpose of what you do, signing up or joining up with a shelter or places that get people ready to start a new life?
So that's where we went, actually.
Oh,
are you
okay.
Are you spying on us?
Yes.
Okay, perfect.
In my heart, I really am.
Oh, okay.
You'll see.
Okay, good. Can't wait. The story is developing as we both
okay,
are
I'm sorry.
No, this is good. No, this is good. So what happened was exactly that. We went from working in a area in Santa Ana, and then we went to Skid Row because I heard, you know, this is the crazy, you know, Skid Row. I want to see what this is all about. So we worked in Skid Row each week for 4 or 5 months and got to know the characters. We got to know everybody, and it was amazing. Scary, crazy, sometimes dangerous, and I loved every moment of it. We had to transition there to helping people get their life back instead of helping enable them to stay comfortable on the street.
I so like that attitude.
So, yeah, you have to, it's good to have heart, but you have to realize what you want to do and make a difference. So we started tying up with shelters. So then people that want to get their life back, we stood behind them and said, yes, you have a community with us, and we're going to help you finish. If 50% of the people in the shelters are dropping out of the program, there's some loss of value there, and there's some reason why they're dropping out. So we jumped right in and rallied around those people, giving them haircuts, giving them makeup applications and treats to feel valued and finish the program.
Wait, so just looks, I missed a beat here, or maybe you just didn't. You say 50% drop out.
50% of the people in the program
in
the shelters.
So when you say you wrap yourselves around, you're just doing it for everybody, hoping to decrease the number of dropouts?
Yep.
Or do you kind of know who those people are going to be?
No, you don't really know, because it's you're going in and you're caring for people and you're creating a community feel.
So has the number dropped?
The number drops, yes. Each time we go in and connect with someone...
Fewer dropouts?
Yeah.
That's
and so we
great.
See people continuing their life and pursuing what they want. So now it's developed from there into... We realize that this has to be... I realized personally that this has to be something that I do with my life. So I started a 501c3 nonprofit.
Oh,
and
what's it called?
It's called You First Project, and it's about generosity. So we say you first because we want to put you before me. And that's the one way that you can develop the sense of satisfaction and value of a community. If you put someone before you, you are deferring to them, obviously, but then you need less as a person. And as you give more, you value what you give more than what you have. And it's a win-win for everybody. So I see this on a corporate level, you know, from the U.S. helping towns in Africa and saying, hey, we're going to make wells for you and we're going to be generous with this money. All the way.
So you're a general, that's almost like, yes, okay.
It's like, yeah, it's
reaching out far beyond.
Yeah, it's something that our generation needs as to be reinstated. And in 60 years, you look around, you're not going to know anybody because they're all going to be gone. I'm going to be gone in 6 years. If
right.
I have that much time left, I want my life to be a springboard for that next generation to launch from. If we commit ourselves to the future, that generation and my kids' kids will live in a generation that is full of life, and we work as a tribe.
You're restoring more than the people whose hair you were cutting.
Of course, yeah.
You're restoring the givers.
Yeah. We have to reawaken
that restoring
them.
People goes way beyond.
Yeah. It's not the people we're helping right now. We're starting this and convincing people to get on board to help, but we have to sell it. And what we're selling is generosity. But what they are buying is volunteerism, because that's good.
But will you still focus on personal appearance
still
and
beauty.
How that still beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So we're doing hair and makeup events.
That's critical.
It is. It's, you know, it's part of your being. And people can jump on board with that. So what we've shifted to is We work with veterans because those are the ones that want help that are in a program. So we work with people that want
Back injured and...
Right. And sadly, our country doesn't do much in the way of caring for those that sacrifice for us. And then we work with survivors.
Sending them away to fight a war is a real organized business.
It is.
It's welcoming back is
We're not...
We're
not really great at that.
No, isn't that sad? Okay, go ahead.
And then...
Step away from bursting into tears. Yeah. So you just keep talking.
So we have veterans that we're caring for, and we have survivors of domestic violence. Because it's such a real topic that is, quote-unquote, messy, and people don't want to have to talk about it or get involved with it, per se. They want to donate a little bit and kind of look the other way. It's emotionally disturbing, maybe. I think it's something that we all can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
We've all had a parent or someone. I meet so many people that have family members that have suffered domestic violence.
Yes, and it's so much in the news and in our vision right now because you see it on the news and you see people who look battered and injured and scarred. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
If you heard the stories, it's horrendous. So we had an event on Sunday and it was beautiful. We invited the women from surrounding areas in Sonoma County, surrounding battered women's shelters. And we brought them into the nicest salon in Sonoma County, LOE Salon. Beautiful place. It was all decorated with roses hanging from the ceiling. Beautiful, beautiful space. And we had a live guitarist to set the tone. And we offered makeup and hair. And we just set out an array of treats for them, cake pops. And
I had no idea when we first spoke on the phone the scope of what I was going to wander into here. I thought you cut hair. This is huge. I need to ask you something just on, if we can just switch over to love letters.
Okay.
Because I know that every one of life's experiences, good or bad, has within it the seeds of a love letter to somebody. Mm. Even if, I shouldn't say even if, because this is important, to yourself.
Mm.
Have you ever thought, I mean, you talk about someday when you have kids, if you have kids, and there's something about, and you talked about, leaving a trace of yourself and all these volunteers. In 60 years, you're going to be gone.
Right, right.
That's right. But you can leave something behind that is so valuable. Would you ever consider writing a letter to yourself and starting it with, or maybe even writing one to your mother first and catching her up with what you're doing? And what did you call her, Mom?
Yeah.
Dear Mom, I'm writing this to you, but I'm going to mail it to myself, and we'll see where it ends up in the future. Just kind of as a way of doing your own history in as a love letter to your mother, and then maybe a couple to yourself. Another 6 months has gone by, so I'm writing to you again, dear me. And keep them.
I love that idea.
Because when you're gone, these letters will be a huge and accurate history of something important that went on in 2016 in California.
This is actually something that I'm learning to stand hand in hand with the survivors of domestic violence and realize that I'm there too. I've been devalued through my own growing up in childhood, and I'm learning to see my own value.
Well, then a love letter to you, even in terms of specify. The specifics of that. And it's private.
Yeah.
So it stays private. You can be really honest in these love letters to yourself. And maybe say things to yourself that you wouldn't want to say out loud.
Yeah.
And let somebody find them someday.
I like it. You've inspired me.
I hope you do. I mean, it would take like a half an hour a month to sit down and do it. And by the way, address it to yourself and stamp it.
Okay.
And mail it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because when you read a letter that you've written to yourself, you're going to be very surprised, maybe not, that the you who wrote it and the you who are reading it,
right,
two different people, in a way. Oh, I hope you do that.
I do. I will.
Okay.
I'll tell you about it. I'll catch back up with you.
Okay, and then come back and do another one of these someday. I would
share
love that.
Where the progress went.
I am so glad we met.
Really great to meet you.
Yes, Casey Harding is sitting over there. Thank you, dear, for introducing us. This is great. My life is better all of a sudden for having met you.
Equal experience right here.
Well, I'm going to say thank you again. And please remember, that if you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, you are that special occasion. More often than not, sit down and drop yourself a note. Thank you, everybody. Bye.